chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We'll look at two verses. Down to verse 10. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Maybe I should read on another verse or two. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We will stop right there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Down to verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 4, For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. I want you to keep the latter part of verse 5 in mind, because we'll get back to it at the end of the message. And then shall every man have praise of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, the verses that we have read are those verses that have to do with the judgment seat of Christ. This is the judgment for believers. We have stated in the past, maybe others have done so as well, that the Old Testament reveals that in time of harvest, there were three stages of the harvest. First of all, there were the first fruits that were gathered and presented to the Lord as an offering. And then there was the main harvest itself. And I can give you these scripture references if you care to have them. But there was the main harvest itself, at which time the corners of the fields were rounded so as to leave some on purpose for for the poor, for the unfortunate. And then such ones were allowed to come in after the main harvest and reap those corners, reap that which was left on purpose. So they were the three stages of the harvest. When we come to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 23, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. So in thinking of our going to be with the Lord, it is likened unto a harvest. In fact, oftentimes at a funeral service, particularly at the graveside, we will hear read such portions as 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the body of this believer, if that be the case, is being planted like precious seed. And it's going to be harvested in a coming day. It's going to come forth in resurrection. So, as we think of the harvest of the Old Testament Scriptures and think of believers going to be with the Lord, we find that going to be with the Lord is in three stages. First of all, the first fruits, the Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits. Then there is the main harvest, the time of the rapture. And I believe the gleaning will be those believers who die for the Lord during the tribulation, and they will be caught up to be with the Lord as well. In fact, when you go to Revelation chapter 20, you will find that even those who die in the tribulation have part in the first resurrection. So we think of those three stages. And we believe the Word of God teaches that we believers, the church, will be caught up. Oh, I know there are those people who argue with us on this point, and they will say, you don't find the word rapture in Scripture. No, but the wording there, we shall be caught up, in the Latin, it's rapiamor, and it's the word from which we get our word rapture. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's going to be a change of position. And from such portions as 1 John chapter 3, it's going to be a change of condition. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And remember now, keep in mind, the word sleep, when it is used in the New Testament to speak of the believer's death, it is always applied to the body, never to the soul. We disagree, totally disagree with those who teach what is known as soul sleep. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And what a change it will be. A change of position and a change of condition. And before we enter into all the glories that our Lord Jesus Christ has for us, we must all, believers now, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We don't hear much about the judgment seat of Christ today, but it is an all-important doctrine, as we see from the Word of God. In fact, there are few doctrines of greater importance to the believer than the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. When we examine the life of Paul, we find that the controlling factor in his daily experience was his anticipation and expectation of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat. Some have said Paul had 2 days on his calendar, today and that day. And he lived each day in light of that day. Now, until that time we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we have a work to do. We have lessons to learn. We have objectives to reach for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But one day, all of us will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. When I first jotted down these notes, I put down that this examination can be summed up in a threefold way. Well, I'll have to correct that because I thought of one or two other points. This examination at the judgment seat of Christ can be summed up in a fivefold way. It will be a time of reverence, deep reverence. It will be a time of revealing. It will be a time of reviewing. It will be a time of rewarding. And it will be a time of rejoicing. Now, there's a twofold purpose for the judgment seat of Christ. First of all, to ensure that every believer moves into the marriage supper of the Lamb, and beyond that, into the millennial reign of Christ, where we will reign with Him without a flaw, without any inconsistency, all misunderstandings removed, all adjustments made. All of this will be done at the judgment seat of Christ. Secondly, the judgment seat of Christ will determine what place we will occupy in the kingdom when we reign with our Lord Jesus Christ. The place that we will have in the millennial kingdom of our Lord will depend on the measure of our service rendered here and now in this life. You might remember the parable of the pounds in Luke chapter 19, and there's a similar parable in Matthew 25. Similar but different. In Luke chapter 19, you will remember the parable of the husbandman, the master who goes off to a far country, and he left with his 10 servants 10 pounds, each one a pound. In Matthew chapter 25, we read of the husbandman who goes to a far country, and he gives to one servant 5 talents, he gives to another 2 talents, and yet another 1 talent. These are somewhat the same, but different. I believe in Luke chapter 19, the emphasis is put on the responsibility of the servants. They were all alike in that each one received the same amount. And so I believe the emphasis there is human responsibility. But in Matthew chapter 25, I believe the sovereignty of God is stressed because the Lord gives to one 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. He can do that. He's God. Now, those who receive these talents have nothing to boast about. I mean, the one with 5 talents cannot boast over the one with 1 talent because God gave them. We have nothing to boast about. But my point in referring to these is that in both instances, when the master came back, it was a time of judgment. It was a time of reviewing. And the outcome of that judgment, of that reviewing, determined what responsibility they had in the kingdom of that master. So it is with the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we read all of these scriptures pertaining to the judgment seat of Christ. It seems to me that in Romans chapter 14, it is the judgment seat in relation to my brother in the Lord, my sister in the Lord. In reading 1 Corinthians chapters 3, and then in chapter 4, it seems that it's the judgment seat in relation to the local assembly. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it seems to be the judgment seat of Christ in relation to deeds done throughout the whole of the Christian life. Now, fellow believer, I want you to keep this in mind. I was going to say every believer will experience three judgments. Maybe I need to alter that a bit because there have been some who have trusted Christ as Savior right before dying. So maybe I need to alter that remark. But in most instances, every believer will experience three judgments. I want you to keep that in mind. As to the past, we have been judged as sinners. We will never be judged as sinners again. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's, uncleanseth us from all sin. Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, God sees us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His well-beloved Son. Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It's God who justifies. We have been judged as sinners. We read in Isaiah 38:17 about sins being cast behind God's back. And then in Micah chapter 7 and verse 19, they're cast into the depths of the sea. And remember, when there's a new heaven and new earth, there'll be no more sea. We sing there, G-O-N-E, gone. And these verses emphasize the fact that our sins are out of God's sight. They're behind His back. Cast into the depths of the sea, out of sight. And then we read in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. How far is that? Here again, you've heard me say, I'm glad He did not say as far as the north is from the south, because we go north to a certain point and we meet the south. We go north to a certain point and any direction you take thereafter is south. Or we go south to a certain point and any direction you take thereafter is north. No, He said, as far as the east is from the west. How far? You tell me, how far is that? Well, that certainly tells me that our sins are out of reach. They are out of God's sight. They are out of God's reach. And Hebrews 8 and 12, as well as 10 and 17, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're out of God's mind. We have been judged as sinners when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and we will never be judged as sinners again. Keep that in mind. Another judgment is that we are being judged as sons. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 9. We read, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 29 and 30. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation, or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. We are being judged in this life as sons. We don't get away with anything. God deals with us now as His children. We have been judged as sinners. We are being judged as sons. The future judgment is we are going to be judged as servants. And this brings us to the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment in the Word is viewed in two ways, administrative and penal. Well, in thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ dying upon the cross and for us saying with the Apostle Paul, I have been crucified with Christ, that was our penal judgment. We have been judged as sinners, and we'll never be judged as sinners again. But now it is the administrative type of judgment. And here again, we think of going into a courtroom. There's the judge sitting at the bench. And he is sending people to prison or even to their death. That's penal judgment. We go to the county fair, and there are judges judging just about everything that's brought to the fair, cattle, baking goods, and preserves, or whatever it is. We think of judges at the Olympics. Not penal judgment, but administrative judgment. And so the judgment seat of Christ is in view of rewards. We are going to be judged as servants. Do you have your Bible open still to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Look at verse 10 once again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. We know the terror of the Lord. I have heard some teachers, preachers, speak about the judgment seat of Christ as being a time of terror. It's going to be a time of weeping. And I've heard some good Bible teachers, and maybe I'd better not refer to any names, but I've heard some good Bible teachers speak about weeping at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm inclined not to think so. Because when we go to be with the Lord, all tears are going to be wiped away. We're going to see Him face to face. But we are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we know the terror of the Lord. Now, I said this is going to be a time of reverence. We can become so light about the things of the Lord at times. And I'll include myself. I have a sense of humor that really needs to be guarded. Louise and I have been commended workers coming up on 42 years. And I remember some years ago when we left the engraving trade back in the 60s, and Mrs. T.B. Gilbert said to me, "Brother Eddie, you're going to have to watch that humor." Well, I heard A.P. Gibbs say it's good to have a sense of humor. And I enjoy a good sense of humor. You know that. But there are times when it seems the things of the Lord are spoken of and referred to in a light sort of a way. We have to be very careful. As we think of that word, terror, that word is phobos. And we find it a number of times in Scripture. Let me refer to some here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 4, the keepers of the sepulcher were filled with fear, phobos, and did shake and become as dead men. Matthew 28 and verse 8, yet the two Marys departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. With fear, phobos. You remember reading about the shepherds in the field watching their flocks by night, and when the sky lit up and there was that angelic announcement, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," and so on, they were sore afraid. Phobos. And many times that word is rendered fear, great fear, and even terror in our English translation. But now listen carefully. Let me read to you 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear, phobos, in love, but perfect love casteth out phobos, fear, because fear, phobos, hath torment. Now here in 2 Corinthians 5 and 11, The word here does not mean terror, fright, dread, or horror. But the thought here is reverential awe. It means deep reverence. You know, we might be inclined in thinking of the judgment seat of Christ to think and maybe jokingly say to others, well, listen, when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, when so-and-so's name is called, I want to go up there and I want to listen in on all of this. And then I'm going to look at him and I'm going to look at her and see, I told you so. No, it's not going to be any of that. It's going to be a time of deep reverence. We're going to be standing before the Lord. The famous Bible teacher and scholar B.F. Westcott once wrote, "Every year makes me tremble at the daring with which people speak of spiritual things." And you've heard me say, too, that we are so laid back sometimes that I wonder if we have the reverence and respect for the Lord and the things of the Lord that we should. It's going to be a time of reverence when every one of us, and note the wording in all of these verses, every one of us, or we must all appear. But the verse that each one of us, every one of us must stand before the judgment seat of Christ would indicate that it's going to be a personal judgment for each one of us. I don't believe it'll be a matter of everybody else looking on and saying, see, I told you so. Nothing like that. It's going to be a time of reverence. But it's going to be a time of revealing. A time of revealing. Romans 14 and 12, once again, every one of us shall give account. Now, remember, our sins will not be revealed. And here again, I've heard some good Bible teachers say that at the judgment seat of Christ, our sins will be brought out and we're going to be weeping and that's when He's going to wipe away all tears. Well, I'm inclined not to agree with that. It's going to be a solemn time, but our sins will not be revealed. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And in fact, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it's in the present continuous form. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, goes on cleansing us from all sin. But we are thinking of this time at the judgment seat of Christ as a judgment of servants. We will be judged according to our service for the Lord. Every man's work shall be made manifest. We read in 1 Corinthians 3 and 13. Also in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5, He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God keeps accurate records. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And we will be judged as servants, and from the time we were saved until the time we are caught up to be with the Lord, our service for the Lord will be brought out at the judgment seat of Christ. It will be a time of revealing. And maybe in connection with that, let me point you back to, was it 1 Corinthians chapter 4? Look back there for a minute, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall every man have praise of God. I'm thinking of whether it be good or bad. That's in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, isn't it? According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And you might say, well, all right, Brother Schwartz, now there it is. He's going to examine us, and it's going to be brought out whether it's good or bad. Well, now let us keep in mind that there are at least two words in the New Testament that are rendered bad. One means that it is inherently bad. It is evil. It is bad. That's one word. Another word means that it is bad in the sense that it was not a wise decision. It might be a bad investment. Believers today might invest in a certain venture, and it is revealed later that that was a bad investment. I guess some can testify to that in this auditorium. That was a bad investment. Nothing inherently wrong with it. Nothing evil about it. It wasn't wise. And as servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are told to be wise, redeeming the time, buying up the opportunities, and living for our Lord Jesus Christ. So the word bad here is the sense that it is a bad investment. We do certain things in the way of Christian service, and for whatever reasons, it will be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ, that was a bad decision on your part. That was an unwise decision. That was unwise activity. Nothing inherently wrong with it. It might have been a wrong motive, but that was bad in the sense that it was not the best. It was not the wise thing. So we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and it will be determined whether our service for the Lord was good or bad. It will be a time of revealing. Not only so, it will be a time of reviewing. A time of reviewing. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and each one of us will have his or her Christian life examined by the Lord. He knows it all, but he's going to point out these things to us. And the motives of our work will be reviewed. The motives. Why do we do what we do? Our motives will be examined by the Lord. He said, whosoever shall give you a cup of cold water in my name, he shall not lose his reward. Remember, the Lord said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? When the Lord dealt with Peter on the shore of the Galilee, Peter had denied him three times, so the Lord had to deal with him in the same manner. So three times he asked him, Peter, do you agape me? Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. Not as strong as agape. The second time, the Lord said, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me? Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. Well, the third time, the Lord used his word. Peter, do you phileo me? Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I phileo thee. He said, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my lambs. There is only one spring of action for any service for the Lord that will meet his approval at the judgment seat of Christ. Did you do this out of love for me? Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. That is the motive. That is the motive. Yet we do it in the Lord's name and because of His constraining love. I heard a preacher say one time, as he stressed his point, don't do something for the Lord. You know, sometimes believers have the attitude and they express it. Well, I want to do something for the Lord. This preacher said, don't do something for the Lord. Do everything for Him. Because it will all be reviewed at the judgment seat of Christ. So the motives of what we do will be reviewed. Not only so, but the methods of the work done will be reviewed. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. 2 Timothy 2 and 5. It will be determined at the judgment seat of Christ, as our Christian lives are reviewed, was it done according to the Word of God? Was it actuated by the Spirit of God, and was it accomplished for the glory of God? And that will determine whether it's going to be gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. But the methods of the work done will be reviewed. I remember when we lived in Memphis. I had been up in St. Louis for meetings, and I was driving back home. And I was coming down through the boot heel of Missouri. It was late on a Sunday night. And I was turning the dial on the radio, trying to find something worth listening to. I came across this preacher from Paragould, Arkansas. I am not making up what I am telling you. He was one of these fast-talking preachers that has a backdraft in his voice. You know, some preachers think you're really holy when you preach that way. You know what I mean, that backdraft when they preach real fast? Well, he kept stressing the fact that he was preaching from his home in Paragould, Arkansas. And he said, friends, now I've been telling you about the angel that appeared to me right here in my home in Paragould, Arkansas. And he said, in fact, I have some pictures of this angel appearing to me. I thought, man, I've got to listen to this. This is interesting. He said, now I'm looking at one picture here, and here's a picture of the ball of fire coming down to the mountain right outside my home here in Paragould. And friends, here's another picture here, and it shows the ball of fire coming down the side of the mountain. I don't know what the fire had to do with the angel, but I'm telling you what I heard. And friends, here's a picture here of the angel standing in my home by the mantle here in Paragould. And here's another picture, and I'm standing at the mantle. Now, I thought when he said that, well, the angel snapped that picture. I thought, who in the world would... And he said, now, friends, I'm coming to you by faith, and I've got to hear from you. I went to the mailbox the other day, and it wasn't much there. I need to hear from you. I need your gifts. And I thought, and he offered these pictures at a certain price. I thought, who in the world would respond to that? I talked to a friend of mine in Atlanta who was worked for the Postal Service sorting mail on the train going from one point to another. And when I said that to him, he said, you would be surprised at the people who respond. Usually it's poor people who are giving their last few dollars. I remember a time I almost responded to an ad in a Christian publication. It said, if you send so much money, I'll send to you this wallet that has been prayed over and you will never be broke. Now, I confessed I came close to the methods of the work done will be reviewed. And then the measure of the work done will be reviewed. Now, I realize in saying that we hear from time to time. Now, remember, in those parables, when the master came back, he wanted to examine their work to see what sort it was. And they will say, now, don't be taken up with the measure of what you do, but be taken up with the kind of work you do, what sort it is. Well, it's true the Scripture says that, but you can't get away from the fact when the husbandman returned, he wanted to know how much they had gained in using their gifts or their talents. How much? And the measure of the work done will be reviewed. I mentioned Mrs. Lane at the Sunday school hour this morning who had that problem of praying. And it made me think that there are people who are serving the Lord, not able to get out and be doing things, but they are praying daily for those who are able to get out on the front lines, as it were. The motives, the methods, the measure, all will be reviewed. And then it will be a time of rewarding. And I think maybe this is what I had in mind when I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I realized that my thought was back in 2 Corinthians. And then shall every man have praise of God. Now, when you read that, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, then shall every man have praise of God, Paul is not saying, then when all of the examination is done, then we will all be praising God. Well, that is true. But that's not what Paul is saying there. What he's saying there is, then God will find something in his examination for which he will praise every believer. It will be a time of rewarding. And then it will be a time of rejoicing. We will be rejoicing in our blessed Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And to think that He deigns to use the likes of us in His service. It will be a time of reviewing, a time of reverence, a time of reviewing, a time of rewarding, and a time of rejoicing. But every one of us is going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Forgive me for going over. I say that oftentimes, don't I? I've got to get out of that habit. Brother Charles Lee, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?